Well, this is John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast, and it is a pleasure today to have Jeff and Beth McCord in just a moment. They are going to be talking about their new book, More Than a Number.
Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription.
Now, this is going to be a little bit controversial for some people because I think there's just a lot of misunderstanding around the Enneagram, which is, and some people say it's a personality type quiz and it really helps you understand more about yourself. I know that it has helped me, and Beth and Jeff McCord are able to really apply biblical principles to this study, this personality study that has helped so many people. And I'm looking forward to talking to them right now. So here is Jeff and Beth McCord. Thank you guys so much for being here. They are the YourEnneagramCoach.com is their homepage, and there's so many resources, and it's been a resource for me for a number of years too. So thank you guys for being here on the Charisma News Podcast.
Yeah, we're so excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, well, thanks, John. I mean, I've never intended to be a controversy man. I try not to lead with it, but yeah, we're a little surprised to some degree, like how the reactions to some of the Enneagram stuff. We totally understand why people would, but hey, we're happy to talk about how we use the Enneagram and can actually help us in our relationship with Jesus. So.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I am totally there with you. And I do want to talk about some of the controversial things and people that are bringing it up a little bit later. But let's talk about what the Enneagram is. And it's not a pentagram. It's not this weird thing. I mean, yes, there's a gram in it, but it's just really means graph, right? I mean, it's a Latin word. That's any right. Meaning nine, and gram meaning a graph. So it's...
Yeah, it's just it's a nine-pointed geometric figure.
Yeah.
That each of the points on the nine-pointed star represents one of the main personality types. And really what the Enneagram is showing us is that there are nine valid ways of seeing the world, nine valid perspectives. And so each of us, each of the nine types will be maybe in the same circumstance, but see it and interpret it and react to it in different ways. And that's based on the core motivations of each type. So each type has four core motivations: the core fear, what you're always running away from; the core desire, what you're always striving to obtain. And then you have a core weakness. This is the thing that keeps tripping you up time and time again. It's your Achilles heel, thorn in your side, you name it. And it's something that directly shows that we need Jesus every single day. Then we have a core longing, and this is the message your heart longs to hear. And the great news is that Christ has already satisfied that. Now, we don't always feel it or think about it, but he has. And so we can come back to the gospel and be replenished all the time because of what he has done for us and in us.
Now, I love how you're describing that already, because you are pointing back to Jesus in basically every sentence that you said. Right. Yes, this is our personality. These are some traits that we might have. There are some things that we struggle with and we need to overcome. These are our core desires and motivations. But you're pointing us back to Jesus, because he's really the one that's going to fix us.
Yeah.
And make us more like him, because that's what we're supposed to be.
I mean, the Enneagram is a great tool. Myers-Briggs is a great tool. StrengthFinders is a great tool. There's lots of great tools and resources out there, but it is the gospel that transforms us. And so at the end of the day, just to let you know, our mission statement says that we're here to help others to understand themselves with astonishing clarity so they can break free from self-condemnation, fear, and shame by knowing and experiencing the unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom of Christ, freedom in Christ. There's not the word Enneagram in our mission statement. Now, of course, we use it. It's a very helpful tool. But the whole point of what we're doing is helping people to get from where they get stuck in this self-condemnation, fear, and shame, and moving into who they really are in Christ, having unconditional forgiveness, freedom, and love through Christ is exactly where we want people to be, because he has done the work.
Right.
And what we need to do is remember what he has done on our behalf and make sure that we live through and in that.
Yeah. Now, I know, Jeff, you're a pastor, and you've been a pastor for a while.
Sure.
So you have a different perspective, and I think you can address some of the things that people are like, why should Christians even be involved in some of these personality tests? Because I think because there's personality examples of like the zodiac and you know your sure. signs, you know, people kind of just say, oh, anybody that does anything like that is, you know, we just need to in essence throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I think there's a lot of good things that, not talking about your astrology signs, but I think there's a lot of good things that God has given people wisdom to incorporate. Jeff, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, if you think about in church history, there have been a number of various pastoral ministry tools that Christians and pastors have used in order to communicate and apply the truth of the Bible to our lives. And so we're not subverting or somehow replacing the role of the scriptures in our lives. The reality is that, you know, anyone that would elevate the results of a personality tool above who they are, having been made in image of God, having been adopted as sons and daughters of God, and all the promises that are yes and amen in Christ. And so we would never want to replace any of that. What these kinds of tools, the Enneagram in particular, helps us to understand is the particular design that we have, how we approach the world, and where we actually get off our right path and onto a path where we use strategies in order to cope with living in a sinful world. And so we understand the questions, and the questions are warranted, which is one of the reasons why we actually created a website, a landing page, yourenneagramcoach.com/origins, to answer some of those questions that people have about the few people in the small community that helped to develop the modern expression of the Enneagram.
Yeah, thank you for addressing that. You know, that's something I think people just, if they don't understand something, they can oftentimes be afraid of it.
Sure.
Because there's so much that we just don't know out there. And we're always trying to maybe be a little bit protective in wisdom. But let's talk about how the Enneagram and learning about yourself and who God's made you to be and how you can realign yourself to Christ, how that has helped you guys individually. And I know, Jeff, you're a 6, and Beth, you're a 9, and I'm a 9, so yeah. I appreciate the things that you have to say. But how has this helped you guys individually and then as a married couple as well?
Well, I mean, and kind of go back to what is the Enneagram. The Enneagram explains why you think, feel, and behave in particular ways, which is it's just different than a lot of other assessments out there that are really speaking to what you do, your behaviors, the external representation of what's going on the inside. So we want to focus on why. Why do you get activated? Or why are you moving in a healthy direction? And again, that all comes back to those four core motivations. And so for Jeff and I, you know, I'm a 9. We've talked about this a little bit beforehand, is that 9s have this internal fog. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't know what we want or like, because our whole life we've gone along to get along. You know, we just merge with other people just so that we can create peace. So what happened was when Jeff and I got married at the age of 20, yes, very, very young, we didn't know ourselves, let alone each other. And it created a ripple effect, some turbulence those first several years. And about year 6 is when a friend introduced us to the Enneagram. And it allowed me to just kind of wipe away some of the fog and have it dissipate, not completely, but just enough to be able to explain to him what was going on. And also just for me to know what was going on so that we could navigate the path together a little bit easier. Right. And we've been married 27 years. I still got some haze. I'm always having to learn about myself because that's just the nature of the type 9. But we don't want to use the Enneagram as a sword or as a shield. So when I say a shield, I don't want to go, well, Jeff, I just don't understand myself. That's too bad, you know, and like that doesn't promote good relationship, right? So I have to work hard as a type 9 to understand myself, to get that fog to dissipate with the help of the Holy Spirit so that we can have better communication and relationship. At the same time, we don't want to use it as a sword where, you know, he might say to me, oh, you're being such a 9 right now. You know, like that again does not promote love the way that Christ wants us to love one another. And so we want to transform into being more like Christ in the way he created us. So I don't need to become some other Enneagram type. I need to become the version that God created me to be more like Christ. And the same with Jeff. And so those are some things that we feel are really important when people start to use the Enneagram. Unfortunately, a lot of people use it incorrectly as that sword and the shield.
Yes.
Because the Enneagram is like a non-judgmental friend. It just lays out very clearly your healthy all the way to your unhealthy tendencies. But we can use this tool to help us to navigate our life a little bit better. Like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I'm kind of getting misaligned again, and asking the Holy Spirit to bring us back into alignment with the gospel. Or I can come alongside someone that I really love and say, hey, how are you doing? I've noticed something. Right. And it could be maybe a style of relating that he's doing that indicates maybe he's under stress or he's mm-hmm. anxious. And I can come alongside with support and ask curious questions instead of bringing accusations. So the Enneagram just opens up a whole new world of empathy, compassion, and understanding that a lot of people just don't have without the Enneagram.
Yeah, John, I'll share just briefly what this looks like for me as a type six. So first of all, is there's the element of compassion. Now, each type battles with fear. Everybody has a core fear on the Enneagram, all the numbers 1 through 9. But for the type six, fear is actually a significant part of the six's heart, because they fear just living in the world because things are unsafe, things are unpredictable. Yeah. And so they've developed a way of relating to the world and relating to God that, hey, things are scary out here and I need support. Mm-hmm. I need strength. I need clarity. I need truth. I need wisdom. Well, for the longest time, fear has always been a part of my heart, and particularly around the fear of abandonment. So I was adopted as a child, and one of my earliest memories was me experiencing fear around my parents not returning to pick me up from a babysitter.
Oh, wow.
Well, that has stuck with me as a person for the longest time. The Enneagram helped to give me language to understand why fear was so overwhelming to me. Hmm. Now, I'm also dealing with these passages in the Bible, like in Isaiah, do not fear, or Paul's words in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition presented. So there's all these statements, these biblical laws that are saying like, hey, Jeff, you're guilty of this particular sin. But I was able to do through the insights of the Enneagram is to understand, well, what's my particular expression or experience of fear? And the words in Isaiah really ring true for me. Do not fear, for I am with you. So actually, my fear as a person is the opportunity for me to recognize that I need Jesus. Yeah. This is not there just simply to condemn me, although that's part of it. My guilt always, the way that Paul talks about in Galatians, always leads me to Christ. Right. But I can also understand that fear is the beginning of wisdom. And so this fear that I have actually becomes an opportunity for me as a type six to move away from the kind of frenetic, scattered fear that doesn't know what's coming, to actually move to faith and trust in what Christ has already accomplished and what he has promised for me and his care for me now by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. That's so good. You know, as you're talking about that, I'm just reminded about the, you know, several years ago, I told you this before we went live on this, is that I actually took one of the courses that you offer on your website, yourenneagramcoach.com. But for the type nine, it was extremely helpful because you've gone through so many of these. Basically, you go through the whole process in this. But one of the things that has stuck out with me and it has helped me so much is that the concept of the rumble strips.
Yeah.
And how, like, I'm not using the Enneagram and the different tendencies as an excuse to say, oh, I'm just like this. You know, you have to be okay with me. No, I'm now recognizing that whenever I am in stress and I'm going to the attributes of a six, I am starting to feel those rumble strips. And now that I have some vocabulary for it that you've given me, I'm able to actually say, oh, okay, I'm getting misaligned. I need to get back in line. And it has helped me so much. And to be completely transparent, I'm getting married in less than a month. And some of the stress of the wedding planning and the things with that, the things of after the marriage, you know, going into married life, I have fully embraced the six. I've lived there. And so it has been quite interesting to get myself to realize that I have just been hitting those rumble strips, and that's how I've been driving. Yeah. And no wonder I feel like I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. But because I've been able to identify that and, you know, get prayer, get refocused on Jesus and the promises of the Word of God.
Yeah.
That has helped me get back in alignment. But first off, I want to thank you for using that example of the rumble strips, because it's like, this is not an excuse for me to go the wrong direction. This is an opportunity for me to get back on the right path.
You know, whenever, so the Enneagram is a dynamic tool. It's not just, you're just one type and then that's kind of the box that you operate in. The reality is that each Enneagram type exists similar to a color at a paint store. There's thousands of different blues and purples and yellows and oranges. And so each Enneagram type is still unique in and of itself. But I will say this in regards to the alignment stuff. So what the Enneagram is capturing is that there are certain patterns to the expression of how we are trying to live, coping with living both as sinful people and being in a fallen world. And it captures both strategies that we use in our thinking, feeling, behaving to adopt to either living in line with the truth or living out of alignment with the truth. Think of the very passage where this language is used in Galatians chapter 2, where Peter is being actually racism and favoritism for one community over the another. And Paul addresses him saying that I had to call him out. Why? Because he was no longer walking in line with the truth, which was a pattern for Peter. And so Paul addresses it but notice what he says there is that it's no longer walking in line with the truth. So the idea is that there's an opportunity for Peter that he's now stepped away from. The Enneagram helps to capture the pattern that we follow whenever we are stepping away in unbelief from all that Christ is for us. But there's always the opportunity, as I mentioned with fear, is that, I loved how Jerry Bridges phrased it, that you're never so good that you're beyond the need for God's grace, and you're never so bad that you're beyond its reach. And so even in my unhealthiness, I have the opportunity to respond to the invitation of the gospel, to receive forgiveness again, to receive the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, to live out all of the fruits of the Spirit for us. But why don't you talk a little bit more about how the Enneagram itself captures it?
Yeah, I mean, that is really our heart. Again, moving from being stuck, you know, to believing lies and the false messages to what is truth. And when we start to get misaligned, you know, it's kind of like when you're driving down on the highway and you're just driving along, you might get distracted. You might fall asleep at the wheel. Hopefully we're not, but there's all different things that
might be
happen.
Parenting your kids in the back seat.
And all of a sudden your car just starts going off and there's that rumble strip on the highway that alerts you, right? It's an annoying noise, but when you need it, thank goodness it's there. Mm-hmm. And it alerts you and it helps you to know if you keep heading in that same trajectory, you will fall off the road. You will crash. And there's lots of different things that could happen.
Right.
So we use that rumble strip to alert, to wake us up. So for you and I as type nines, when we start to see our mind start racing and getting anxious and trying to plan and predict all the things, we know that that is a sign that it's a sign of possible wisdom, right? We don't want things to go wrong. Mm-hmm. But if we get frenetic in it, it helps us to know, oh, I'm hitting that rumble strip. And now is a great opportunity for me to seek wisdom and help. Now, first and foremost, we want to ask the Holy Spirit and to get the truth from Him. But He also gives us good counsel around us and people that love us that can help support us to get into a healthier place. And so that's where the Enneagram can be super helpful. Like if Jeff sees me getting all frenetic and thinking this way, he can take the time to sit with me and we can talk through what's going on and make a plan in a way that can actually help me to address the things that do need to be addressed, but also help my anxieties to decrease and to put my trust and hope back in to the Lord. And so again, the other thing that was so helpful when I was studying the Enneagram, I just felt like this aha moment is it shows you exactly what you're like when you're at your healthiest or most aligned. And when you're, unhealthy or out of alignment with the truth of the gospel. And so there's all of these different layers.
Right.
Now, what we do is that we say you're aligned with the truth of the gospel or out of alignment or misaligned. And mm-hmm. what we want people to know is that when you're aligned, it's when you are believing, knowing, and trusting who you are in Christ. And the overflow of your heart is living in a healthy way. But then when we start trusting in our own will and our own strength and our own knowledge, we start mm-hmm. to get in this misalignment. It's like, no, God, I know you're out there, but I don't think you're going to help me with this thing right here. So I'm going to start to control it. That's when we start to get misaligned. Now, there's times in our lives where we can get really out of alignment. And this is where we live as if we're an orphan all alone in life, even though we are His. He is our Lord and Savior. But all of a sudden, we're just like, well, I guess I got to do this all on my own. And really unhealthy tendencies happen there. Right. What we want people to know is that when you are in Christ, you are His. And so even when you're at this lower level or medium level, that doesn't mean your status with Christ has changed. It just means the overflow of your heart is showing you're in misalignment or out of alignment. But what helps is not just to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just keep working harder. No, it's that He has forgiven us completely. He has given us His righteousness and put it on us so that when God looks at us, He sees Christ's righteousness in and through us. And by understanding that status, it allows our hearts to move closer and closer up into the place where we can trust Him and live in the overflow of being aligned. And that's why it's really beautiful about how we use the Enneagram is it's not about building up your own self-righteousness, doing everything just right. Right. It's about leaning on what Christ has already done in and through us.
Yeah, that reminds me of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all mm-hmm. your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths.
I mean, what a great thought, John. Yeah, because the goal here is not to become better Enneagram types. The goal here is really to become who God has created us to be renewed in His image, mm-hmm. to be renewed in the image of our Creator. So what a fantastic path. Yeah, don't trust in the strategies of your type. Trust in the Lord.
Right. Yeah. I once had a conversation with a retired major general, and he said something that was very wise, and I've always stuck on this, and it reminds me of that verse, is that he said, you fall the way that you lean. And so whenever you're leaning on Christ, if you're going to fall, you're going to fall on Him. If you're leaning on your own understanding, you're going to fall that way. So that's always stuck with me. So just throwing that in there. But I know with your new book, More Than a Number, I want to talk about some of the things that is unique in this book and let you guys talk about that. I know you use the acronym AWARE. Mm-hmm. Can we just explain about that? And then I just want to hear you guys talk about the book and what readers can benefit from as they they purchase that and they dive into it.
So the AWARE acrostic stands for a spiritual exercise that Beth and I do on a regular basis. It could be moment by moment, or it's even the way in which we start the day. But what it's trying to capture is that there are many parts to my heart. I'm not just a single thing. I can be two conflicting things at the same time. I can be afraid and fearful. I can be strong and courageous, faith-filled and courageous, all at the same time. I can feel discouraged, but also hopeful all at the same time. And the AWARE acrostic helps us to capture this, both in helping to understand how it's showing up in our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors. And so each letter has a principle to it. So the first A stands for awaken. That's just to awaken to what's actually happening in the moment, to awaken to thoughts, feelings, or body sensations. Like, where am I experiencing what I'm experiencing? Number two is to welcome, to not deny or turn away from, but to actually welcome the experience. There's something that I can learn in this moment that may be the opportunity for me to draw closer to Christ or draw closer to Beth. So awaken, welcome. Then the next one is to ask, asking the Holy Spirit to help you interpret. Now, this models what David was praying in Psalm 139, search me and know me, see if there's any unholy way in me. The idea is that the Holy Spirit has been promised to us to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, to remind us of all the things that Christ has told us. And so let's press into, hey, Jesus, I'm having a hard time understanding why I'm feeling so afraid in this moment. Can you help me? But it's also asking these various parts of us of being able to apply the truth of the gospel. What part of me, asking the question, what part of me is carrying this fear? Is that a younger part of my life? A storyline that I've been carrying for a long time? Is there something that may be coming up in the future that's causing a little bit of anxiety for me? It's just asking myself the question, what's actually happening inside of me? Well, so we've got awaken, welcome, ask, and then the R stands for receive, receiving the truth that the Spirit guides us to. And that could be the reminder of certain passages of Scripture. It could be passages that you've written down. It could be the words of great mentors and teachers that you follow. But these are opportunities for us to receive what is true versus believing the untruths or believing the lies that we have carried with us for all this time. And then the last one is engage. And that is, we don't want to just simply lean into descriptions of personality type as if observations, just simply because I observe something happening that I'm going to change it. But we're looking to actually engage in new ways. That's what the way Paul talked about in Galatians, that this is faith working itself out in love. And so how can I engage with God and how can I engage with my relationships in a new way based upon the truth that I've received?
Wow. That's so good. I'm going to have to watch this again just to hear you break that down, or you can get a copy of the book.
And, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So tell us about the book and, you know, why did you write another book about the Enneagram? Because you've had, this is, you know, behind you on your shelf there, you've got, 27 books, one for each of the, one for each of the types plus the wings. I know what that is.
Great.
And you've got Becoming Us and you've got so many resources that you guys have created. Yeah. Why did you write more than your number?
That's a great question. Well, it's really an overflow of our own personal work. So in 2015, Jeff had to leave a position that brought us here to Nashville. And that, we were just really broken in that season. Really,
we were devastated.
Confused. There was just a lot of heartache. And like Jeff said, there was just a lot of competing things going on internally. There was hope for the future. There was discouragement for what was happening right now. Lots of things going on. So Jeff, through one of his counselors, was learning the modality, internal family systems. And it was a great modality for him. And he was able to articulate clearly.
Well, and it was in alignment with some of my practice. So I remember reading Abba's Child by Brennan Manning and learning about a false self, and then learning about focusing. It was Barton's book on silence and solitude. And so IFS became this way of what's actually happening inside of me, what part of me, because I'm feeling competing things.
Right. And so, you know, as he was, you know, learning about this and able to explain a lot of it to me, as a nine, again, that internal fog, I just was like, I can't see what you're talking about for myself. But that's when I really felt, you know, like God was like, well, what about the types, you know, that you're connecting types, the two wings, the two numbers on either side of your main type, and the two lines that are connected to two more types, which for me are three and six. Those are parts of you that show up and influence you. Right. Now, you don't become that as your main type. So I'm still a type nine, the peaceful accommodator, but my type one, my type eight, my type three, and my type six all come with their own perspectives, their own thoughts. And internally they can either have a battle, you know, if I'm not doing well, or there's times where when I'm really healthy that they bring such beautiful attributes to the table. And so what we saw was that IFS influenced something that we created that was completely different and all its own, but there was this really cool influence. And so what we've done with this book is to help you to see how we've used Enneagram Internal Profile, or EIP for short. That's our unique way of doing this. And basically what it says is that you have a wounded part of your heart, a wounded child, and the beloved child in your main type. And so the wounded child is that vulnerable part of us that has been harmed and hurt in some form, in some way. But we have a beloved part of our heart. When we are in Christ, there is this part of our heart that is renewed and new in Him. But a lot of times it needs some attention to be the driver of our internal bus, right? So we want a healthy, mature person at the helm, right? Driving the bus. But a lot of times we're so used to that wounded child, that younger part of us driving the bus, that, and it's ill-equipped. It's like a 8-year-old, 11-year-old, whatever age it is, it's not equipped to handle the bus that they have. And so they're all over the place or they're crashing. And so what we want is to help people understand, what is the healthier version of yourself? And how can you help that part of you to guide and influence and coach or teach, train, whatever acronym works good for you in the wounded child, not to shame it, but to lovingly care for it, to listen to it, to attune to it, and then to bring it into a healthier place. But not only that, your connecting type, so the two wings and those two types that are connected by the lines, we call those paths. Those four types do also influence you. So when you are misaligned and living from that wounded child place, those other connecting types are also going to be misaligned and try to influence you from a less healthy perspective. But when the beloved child is at the helm and driving the bus, guess what? Just like if a real bus driver was driving, everyone is going to calm down and enjoy the ride. And so those other connecting types are actually going to bring amazing attributes to everything that you're doing. And so that's really kind of the background, the basis of the book. And what it does is it helps us to not shame or condemn the less healthy parts of ourselves, because really they're trying their best. They're just, they've been there all along to help us to survive. Yeah. They just aren't well equipped. And so usually there are negative outcomes. So how can we attune, care, and shepherd them into alignment? That's really what the book is about.
And that's what WARE is about. And so having understood all of these various parts of our hearts, using the AWARE acrostic, and I call it a team meeting, where I simply am reflective of, okay, is studious Jeff showing up? Is anxious, frenetic Jeff showing up? Is the calm, kind of passive Jeff showing up? Or is the more achievement-oriented Jeff showing up? Because I can be all of those things in different circumstances, but sometimes I'm either living out of the new creation or I'm living out of an older self.
That's so good. You know, we are called to be more like Christ all the time. And, you know, Romans says that, you know, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right. And I believe that this is one of the tools that God has given us in the right application, which being yielded to the Word of God, yielded to the Holy Spirit's guidance, that we can really help ourselves get realigned the purposes and callings in our life to be able to walk in health, walk in freedom. And I know in this day and age, you know, mental health is such a big thing that people deal with. I mean, people are medicating themselves all over the place because of mental health issues. And I believe that if they can get aligned with the Word of God and understand who they are, who they've been made to be, and their strengths and weaknesses and all these things, that would really help this whole generation in a new way. And so I just want to thank you guys so much for writing the books that you're doing the coaching that you're doing, and training and equipping people to help them understand who God has designed them to be. And even if it is a weird shape that, you know, we use to represent that. But as we talked about earlier, I just want to encourage people, if you have questions about the Enneagram and where it came from, and is this even a biblical thing? Can you deal with this? Go to yourenneagramcoach.com/origins. And Jeff and Beth have a great website there to be able to help you understand, and you can make your own decisions about that. Also, you know, check out the book, More Than Your Number, which is a great title for that as well. So, and Your Enneagram Coach, there's a ton of resources that I definitely recommend. I've gone through one of the courses myself, and it has been very, very helpful. And it's actually something that I want to go through again now that I'm getting married in just a couple of weeks. And she's a type 7, so we're going to have a lot of fun. So,
Hey John, don't forget that all of our Becoming Us material is combining the dynamics of two Enneagram types. So if you go to becomingus.com, there's a free 6-page download that covers spirituality, core motivations, family of origin, communication, conflict, and becoming your best self together for the type 9 and 7 relationship.
Yeah. Or
and so it's going to show you your strengths and liabilities of that relationship. I mean, the Enneagram really is such a profound tool, because it's not just about personal insight. Mm-hmm. It's about relational insight and how we can love each other better, and how we can do that through our relationship with Jesus. And so a lot of great resources there. We really do enjoy this tool.
Yeah.
I can tell, and I really appreciate that you guys have put so much into what God has called you to do with this, and thank you guys so much. It's been a privilege and an honor to be able to talk to you guys on the Charisma News podcast here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, John.
This has been John Matarazzo with the Charisma News podcast. God bless you.